We know that everybody is talking about how the clampdown is affecting apple crop and the Kashmiri farmers. And we have been observing people in administration as well tweeting about it and being very proactive to ameliorate the situation. However, there isn't a single person even thinking about how it is affecting the tribal economy.
Hi, I'm Grishma Kuttar, and this is Voices from the Lockdown, a First Post podcast. The state of Jammu and Kashmir, in its last 2 weeks, is home to a diverse set of people. The Gujjar and Bakarwal communities are the Muslim nomadic tribes of this state who've been waging their own battle over the decades since independence. Facing social exclusion, often being called traitors for something as basic as political reservations, the community has been battling different layers of discrimination across the state. Today, we'll speak to Ishtiaq Ahmed Shaukh, a research scholar who has written for us at length about these communities, their problems, and their aspirations. We will try to understand where these communities stand after the August 5th announcement of the Indian government to abrogate Article 370 and Article 35A. Ishtiaq, where does the Gujjar Bakarwal community see themselves after August 5th? Now that the region is going to be bifurcated, this will directly affect the roots of these communities as well, with new boundaries coming into place, right? I mean, that is one aspect that I can think of. But what is the community saying and feeling at large?
Grishma, I think there are some concerns which these communities share with others in Jammu and Kashmir. Like, they too have apprehensions about loss of land. They fear about more competition in jobs, etc. They fear about competition within ST category as well, because they feel that they are not in a position to compete with the tribals of the rest of the country if they start applying for jobs there in the Jammu Kashmir as well. But there are concerns which are peculiar to them. And I feel that to understand that, we need to first answer who are Gujjar Bakarwal and what were their concerns before this effective abrogation of Article 370. And in that context, it's important to point out that they are the third largest ethnic community in the Jammu Kashmir after Kashmiris and Dogras. They are pastoralists. Some of them are nomads, some are semi-nomads, and they practice transhumance. Those who practice transhumance, they will spend some time of the year in the plains of the Jammu region, and in summers they migrate to pastures in the valley. And there are a number of families who migrate all the way from Jammu to Leh-Ladakh region as well. The unfortunate fact about this community is that they fall in the category of the most underprivileged sections in Jammu and Kashmir, because there is a stigma attached to their identity, whether it is their cultural expression, their sartorial sense, their language. And also, they are among the most underprivileged sections of the society, and they are politically underrepresented.
Okay. What have been the major aspirations of the Gujjar Bakarwal community over the years? And how has the national or state leadership in Jammu and Kashmir responded to this?
So, because of social marginalization, because of very less representation in the politics of the state, and other concerns, they had a number of demands, and two of them stand out because they were declared ST in 1991, but the provisions available to the tribals across the country, they were not extended to the tribals of Jammu and Kashmir. And these two demands include Forest Rights Act and political reservation. So the problem is that we see now in the statements being made by people regarding 370 and the political reservation to Gujjars is that there are many leaders who are misguiding people by saying that it was Article 370 because of which this could not become possible, that political reservation was not extended to them and Forest Rights Act could not be implemented in Jammu and Kashmir. But I see it rather as an unwillingness of the state leadership, whether it is PDP or NC or Congress, they were all unwilling to extend these constitutional provisions to the Gujjars of Jammu and Kashmir. Because we have seen that reservation was extended to scheduled castes under Section 46 of the Jammu and Kashmir Constitution and many other legislations which include GST as well. But the same was not done to the Gujjars. So they had these demands like Forest Rights Act, political reservation, among other things. But these demands were not at the cost of 370. So 370 is something different. and those demands are different. So this is one thing which I feel is very important to point out.
All right. Okay. So this connection that leaders are trying to draw with Article 370 and the aspiration of the Gujar Bakarwal community, why do you think they're doing that? I mean, it seems like, you know, like deliberately misleading people on this.
To me, the most important consideration of the current regime is to effectuate a demographic change. This is what I feel about this move. Because we have observed how Gaur Rakshaks have attacked the migrating tribal families in places like Riyasi, in Kathua, etc. Number two, everyone knows about the Kathua rape and murder case. So the rationale behind it was to instill fear in the minds of the tribal, so they flee away from Jammu. And one more important thing is the ex-BJP Minister Lal Singh's statement, Gujars, have you forgotten 47? He was making a statement reminding them of the massacre of Jammu Muslims in the wake of partition. So the threatening to kill them if they raise their voices clearly points towards a very clear objective of further changing the demography of the region. I'm saying further changing it because it has already happened. The Muslims of Jammu were close to 61% before partition, and now they are close to 30% only. So demographic change has already taken place, and now they are again going to further it. And Gujars, because they are almost all of them are Muslims in Jammu and Kashmir state. So among the Muslims, they are the most vulnerable. So they are under attack. So when BJP promises them and tries to woo them by promising them political reservation and things like that, they are very, very dishonest because they have been involved in displacing them from many pasture lands.
That's an important aspect that you mentioned, displacement. I think you should elaborate a bit more on the displacement that the community has been facing. You know, like historically?
In the displacement they have been facing since long. We have observed that when refugees came from West Pakistan, they were relocated in areas which were inhabited by Gujars. During a number of wars, like in 65 onwards, in 1971, and then during Kargil War, they were displaced from many border areas. And when they went back to these places, there were army camps all around and they were not allowed to relocate there. So they went elsewhere. So the boundaries around caste and ethnic identity, which are becoming more rigid now. And there is a heightened sense of regionalism, which will increase with time because of this particular move. So I don't think that there will be any places to relocate after getting displaced like it used to happen earlier. Like it was not easy earlier as well, but once they were displaced from one region, they used to go to the other place, uninhabited regions, and just settle there. And now the population is increasing and more and more areas have come under forest laws, etc. And also, if Ladakh is declared as a separate union territory, they will not be welcome there anymore. So those people who did not have a permanent home, those people who had this idea of just owning up nature, like nature is there so they can go anywhere. So that won't happen anymore. So the process of displacement that has been happening since long, it will continue.
This new wooing that the BJP is doing, keeping that aside for a moment, would you agree that the state leadership also has never really been receptive of the demands of the Gujar Bakarwal community?
Of course, we have seen it over ages, because since most of them are very illiterate, they do not have a political voice, they do not have representatives who raise their voices. So most of the like leaders from across the parties, they didn't raise their voice because they could simply woo them by promising small things, including scholarships, like ST scholarship for students and things like that. And because of the absence of any prominent leader within Gujars who could have raised their voices, the leaders from across the parties, they exploited them. And that's the reason that we even the ST status that was given to them in 90s, it was during governorship of governor. So it was not under the leadership of the elected legislatures of the state. So, and even after that was done, they were still denied the rights that are entitled to all the tribals across the country. So we demanded it it was a consistent demand, and all the time it was like some of the times they will say that, oh, it's because of 370 that we cannot extend the central legislatures in the state. Sometimes they'll just revolve around some other arguments and just try to mislead people. And I think it's the absence of the leadership within the community as well, which was because of which we failed to actualize this thing. And again, the promises that are being made now, by the BJP government. They're also like, they're not going to substantially change our situation, because we see the hypocrisy in what they were doing before making this move and what are they promising now. Because we have to see it in the context of social exclusion that the Gujars and Bakrawals face in the valley as well. This particular move, it almost united people across the state to raise a voice against the move of the state. But these promises, I feel they are to reify the binary of Kashmiri and non-Kashmiri. And it's going to further stigmatize them, because we have seen caste slurs being thrown at them. They are being called Gujru. The way people laugh at their territorial sense, all forms of cultural expression that they have, there is an attached sense of shame and guilt with it. They are considered like lesser humans. So in Valley, we have an exclusion based on ethnicity, and they're also not considered Muslim enough. In Jammu, the exclusion is based on their religious identity. So one of the most important thing to note is that there is simmering discontent everywhere in the state, whether it is Jammu or Kashmir or Ladakh. And we see that Kashmiris are as much a part of, I'm talking about ethnic Kashmiris, they are as much a part of the Indian state machinery as anybody else in the state. We have seen Kashmiris, they are in army, in state police, bureaucracy, and even in politics, where I feel they are overrepresented. In a similar way, Gujars are also found everywhere, and there are multiple narratives that they support like anybody else. But there is a feeling in the valley that the Gujars are traitors. And this is the thing that the BJP taps into. The same argument is made about them in Jammu as well by the right-wing forces because of their religious identity. They are called traitors in Jammu as well, and hence the attempts to change the demography, as we have discussed earlier. So sometimes they are equated with Rohingyas as well. In this context, the promises of the central government to grant them political reservation is going to further alienate them.
Yeah, I mean, this clearly puts a community which is already facing exclusion in a very tight spot, you know, like, I mean, to use a community's demand against themselves while the state is going through a turmoil of itself. How do you think things will pan out here on Ishtiak? It sounds like a difficult situation.
I really don't know what's going to happen, because I'm very, very disheartened by some of the statements made by a few leaders within the community, because some of them joined BJP recently. So all those who are in BJP, whatever are the statements being made by them, the community is not like supporting that. So they are not the representatives of their voices right now. First thing is that there are very few people from the community who are in active in the political setup of the state. And only the few leaders who are there, they represent the voices of the of their respective parties. They do not represent the community per se. So when ministers like Abdul Ghani Kohli make statements praising Prime Minister Modi or Amit Shah, people do not they do not represent the aspirations, the feelings of the people. So I feel that there is a vacuum of leadership within the community as well. And others are, of course, not raising their voices. And one of the most important things that I feel is going to affect the Gujar Bakrawal community is, after this particular move, is their tribal economy. And we know that everybody is talking about how the clampdown is affecting apple crop and the Kashmiri farmers. And we have been observing people in administration as well tweeting about it and being very proactive to ameliorate the situation. However, there isn't a single person even thinking about how it is affecting the tribal economy. Since they are pastoralists, the sale of wool, eggs, and meat, etc., has got declined significantly. And what is it that the state is doing to reach out to these people? There's nothing at all in this particular context. Yeah, another important thing is that there are three regions which have got divided now in the erstwhile state of Jammu and Kashmir. And all the three regions are home to the migrating families. And the Kashmiris, I'm talking about ethnic Kashmiris, they have a claim to the land, particularly in the valley. Dogras have Jammu. The locals of Leh and Kargil have a claim to their land. So the migrating nomads, because some of the Gujars and Bakrawal, they are like, they practice sedentary life, but the migrating nomads, they do not practice the idea of ownership of land. They have a completely different worldview. So the way the boundaries are being drawn, I feel that they will not be accepted after it, and there will be an increasing process of sedentarization. So I fear that the practice of transhumans will completely go away with time.
That is all that we have from this episode of Voices from the Lockdown. Tune in tomorrow at 8 for the next episode.